Starting in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good to be with you. Haven't been here for a long, long, long time. It's always a pleasure to be with you. So today I'm going to talk to you about something that I feel important for everyone. And I feel that, you know, this is really what I want to share with a lot of people these days. And coincidentally, it's actually happening with, you know, during the women's retreat. It's this weekend. And they were talking about this book and movie. I don't know if you've heard about it. I'm not promoting it by any means, okay? And I don't want you to get it or buy it. This book is written, I don't know if you saw the book or the movie, but it's written by this lady who was not satisfied in her life. So she decided to divorce her husband and to go around the world to search for happiness and significance. And she went through three countries. She went to Italy, and she went to India and Indonesia. And somehow in these three countries, she found some secrets of happiness, which is eat, pray, and love, okay? She actually didn't find, she said, among is the trial and trying new food and some people and some meditation in some of the temples of India. There's still every now and then thoughts of suicide and discomfort is still coming. So what is the point of the book? No point. She searched, found some good stuff, but the search still continues. But this book and movie became very, very popular. Why? Because it asks the same question that everyone is asking. There is something is missing. Something that I still need. Still people, even who go to church, they say, I pray, I go to church, I do the right things, but something still is missing. There is a sense of loneliness or emptiness. And it doesn't matter if these people are single or married. It doesn't really matter. Everybody's asking the same question, and that's what made this book and movie, who absolutely have no point and has nonsense, popular, okay? Because, you know, it's a good question that people are asking. So, if you want to go back to our manual, the manufacturer manual, to see how God created us and what's missing in there, if you remember that God first created Adam, and he was by himself in the garden. He created everything for him. He was in a perfect environment, no sickness, nothing bad, no bad news, no one who talks to him, you know, day and night. He was quiet, you know, he had no problems, no wife, no kids. The man had everything, and the best thing he had is he had God as a best friend. He had no one else except God in the garden. He had the whole kingdom for himself, the garden for himself. But God noticed that Adam is missing something, you know, and it says that, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So Adam, God gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air, to every beast in the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Adam was still lonely. Then God came with the perfect solution for every problem in the universe, which is Miss Eve. And Eve came to the picture, and things were different forever and ever. Well, Eve actually was the solution to his loneliness back then. As a matter of fact, it was in God's plan to create Eve, but God gave a chance to Adam to be by himself first, so he knows that he's in need of Eve. So when Eve came, his eyes brightened, and he dealt with her as a piece of him, and, you know, they lived happy forever. That didn't happen, actually, but, you know, it was the solution for a good while. She was different in everything than him. She talks a lot, he doesn't. She is emotional, he's not. they're almost the opposite in everything. And actually that worked perfect because they completed each other, okay? And things were perfect. My point here is not marriage, okay? Don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you to go get married, because this lady that I was talking about, she was married. She said maybe the husband is the problem. She got rid of him. You know, problems didn't, you know, did not solve itself. So the point here is God made us in need of each other. And God made us that we need others to be complete. And at the perfect image that God created everything perfect here. Nothing was imperfect. But still, they needed each other. And you know what? Some people think it's marriage. So they get married. And they think that this sense of loneliness and emptiness will go away. And then discover, no, it's not going away. It's still there. And they keep saying, is that it? I thought marriage has more. But when God created Adam and Eve, then he knew that both of them will be perfect for each other. They will complete each other. When God created me and you, he knew that we need each other as a community, not just as a couple, but as a community. And God wanted us to live that life. Marriage is a fellowship. It is one of the forms of community, but it's incomplete and will never be. That's it, Adam and Eve, or two people, and that's it. That's not what God created. God wants us to complete each other through love and love relationship, and that's why he gave the most important commandments, which is, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. One, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The most important thing in life is to love God. And if you have God, you have everything you're asking for. Correct? Incomplete. You love your neighbor as yourself. And the two are one. The two are the same. Love God and love others. Have a relationship with God, have a relationship with others. If you have a perfect relationship with God, perfect, and no one can have a perfect relationship more than Adam, it's still incomplete. There is something missing. God wants us to live in a community and to love each other, and this will be the completion of his love for us. God wants us to live that way. So in your outline, put this, that loving others is being actually connected to God's love. It's not really in others, but is the rest of God's love in that community. So what we are missing is, the right word is fellowship. Fellowship and true fellowship. And I'll explain today what fellowship is. In order to understand what fellowship is and what's really missing, God gave us a perfect scenario in the garden. Adam and Eve fell. People need salvation. Jesus came in order to save people. When is the time that the original picture is restored? The picture of Adam and Eve very happy and very complete in the garden. When did it happen after salvation? When? The particular day that the happiness of Adam and Eve and this complete picture, and I don't want to say it's maybe the only complete picture we've seen after the Garden Eden. When? Anyone knows? It was Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. The believers were one. They lived together. Look at these verses. Show you how people lived in a community. Perfect community. Perfect love. Complete in everything. That's what it says. And they continued, the group of believers, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Doctrine, God, and fellowship. Prayer and fellowship. They were not, these people spoke in tongues. These people did miracles. But they still needed to live in fellowship, in group. And look how they lived. In the breaking of bread and in prayers, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Come on. Everybody goes to his home to pray and pray all day and all night. No. They were together at all times and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all and anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate. This is the best thing. That's better than Elizabeth's book. Let us listen to this. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were highly exalted. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Perfect scenario. Perfect scenario. People living simplicity, they're eating, they're having fun, they're praying, they're doing everything together. Can never see this picture anywhere else. And that got what God wanted for us and wanted from the church. He wants us to live in a community that has the simple. If I summarize this in two words, these people lived as best friends. Right? It's like bunch of kids who are best friends and they're just having fun and they're praying and then they're eating and then, you know, loving each other. Same thing that Elizabeth said in the book, but completely different scenario. But you have the Holy Spirit. You guys can do miracles. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough, a relationship with God only? And you will complete if you have God? No, that's God's design. God designed us this way. Or else he wouldn't have created Eve. He wouldn't have done that. The Pentecost wouldn't have happened. And the believers wouldn't have done this. And they wouldn't have found the perfect scenario. God made us incomplete and in need of each other. Even the saints are in need of each other. One of the great fathers of the church, actually one of the saints of the church, Abuna Abshoy Kamel, if you hear about him, he's a priest from Alexandria who served here actually in the early 70s in the U.S., in the East Coast and the West Coast. And he was by himself, just the only priest in the United States. And then he's fellow priest, Abuna Tadros, who was here a couple weekends ago, he's in Egypt and Alexandria, and then one come and one goes, one come and one goes. So Abuna Tadros was telling me a story that one day he was going to Los Angeles, and Father Bishoy, who is a saintly man, who had perfect relationship with God, he was waiting for him in the airport exactly as a child waiting for his mom to come back from a long trip. And he was missing him so much. He was missing the fellowship. He was missing his friend. Even the saints, they need that. Why? Because it's God's design. You study the life of Saint Anthony, you know, and Saint Paul, and you know, Saint Bishoy and Saint Paul, and Maximus and Dumadius. They needed each other, and they needed this sense of community. We all need each other. We need the fellowship, the true, the Christian fellowship, the koinonia, in order to grow and mature. In order to grow and mature. Without it, we will never be able to grow and mature. And we will continue to be incomplete, looking for something. I'll give you another analogy to make you understand the concept. that we need the love of each other. Mother Teresa has a very famous saying about poverty. When asked her, why poverty? And if God is so nice and compassionate and loving God, why did God create poverty? And she said, no, her famous saying, God did not create poverty. We did, because we don't share. Very simple. God didn't create poverty. Yes, God created poor and rich, and both are in need of each other, and God wanted some people to be poor and some people wanted, he wanted some people to be rich. Why? Because he wants us to live in a community. I understand that the poor needs the rich for some money. Does the rich need the poor? Absolutely. 100%. The rich without the poor, he will live without any sense of purpose. He will feel that he's just a consumer. He has no importance in life. He has no purpose of existence. They need each other. God created us with different talents, with different things, so we are in need of each other and we complete each other. That's God's design. Yes, God created some people poor, but God did not create poverty. If the rich doesn't reach out to the poor, that's where poverty happens. Same thing as the health or the healthy and the sick person. I understand that the sick person needs a healthy person. Healthy person needs the sick just as much in order to feel that he's contributing. Go and help someone that is sick. You will get a feeling you never get with anything else. Go help someone. You will find a great satisfaction you can never find in anything else. Especially if it's genuine from the heart, and especially there is real need, you know, and especially if this person that is sent by God to me in order to fill this empty part in me. Same thing in the relationships. We all need each other. Some of us are rich in relationships. Some of us are good in relationships. Some of us are very poor in relationships. That's a fact. Why? Because we're coming from completely different backgrounds. If you're brought up in a family that there was no love, and broken family, troubled, dysfunctional family, you will never know what healthy relationships are like. If you were brought in a wonderful, amazing family, and you know relationships very well, you know how to receive and to give love, you're rich in relationships. So the poor needs the rich, but the rich need the poor just as much, or else he will never mature and he will never find Christ. When I say poor and rich here, you gotta understand that this is God's design also. I didn't choose my family. You didn't choose your family. No, none of us have chosen to come in a good family or a dysfunctional family. Same thing that I didn't decide if I'm born in the US or Egypt or Kenya. It doesn't really matter. It wasn't my choice. I could have been born in Kenya and became Obama after that. Or I could be born, you know, in Egypt or here. I could be born in a family where my father is a priest or criminal. Did I choose that? I didn't choose that. Did I do anything wrong? No. But there is a design by God that we come from different backgrounds, we come from different things, but we are in need of each other. You would understand that it's easy for the rich to give, but it's very hard for the poor to ask. We all need the love from each other, whether rich in relationships, or we all need others to love us, to affirm us, to tell us that we are important, that we are good, that we are accepted in the family of God. All of us are in need. But the problem is, we can never ask. We don't want to ask. We're shy to ask. Not only that we're shy to ask, we are even shy to receive the love. Maybe God put someone in my way to give me that love, but I'm very conservative. Maybe God put me in a community that I become part of this community, and I'm shying off from this community, and I'm taken aside, and I don't want to talk to anyone, I don't want anything, because I don't want to be hurt. If you ask people, a lot of people actually say this: what do you want from others? They tell you, I don't want anything. I really don't want anything, and I don't need anyone. I want people just to leave me alone, and I'll be the happiest person, and everything will be perfect. How many times have we said that? It's wrong. It's a wrong statement. It's as if you're saying that I don't need what God wanted for me. No. You have to want and to need what God wanted for you. God will put some people in our lives who are rich in relationships and poor in relationships. We need both. I need to receive and I need to give. I need to be in a healthy community. And I'm talking about people in Christ. What I'm talking about, fellowship, koinonia, which came in the New Testament. The first time to come in this passage that I've shown you, the word koinonia, it means group of community believers in Christ. I'm not going to receive love from anyone, but I'm going to receive the love of Christ through certain people. And I'm not going to share my love, but I'm going to share the love of Christ that He gave me with certain people that God put in my way. And a lot of times these people are in my way, are in my face, but I don't see it. And I don't want to accept it. They're just annoying people. They're immature. You know why they're immature? Because they need something to mature. And this thing is in you have, and you don't want to give away. Some people are difficult, demanding, tough, not friendly, negative, whatever it is. You need these people, and you need also to see the accept. Guess what? These difficult people, by the way, these difficult people, when you accept them and show them the love of Christ, usually they will be crazy about you. They will love you more than anyone else. You want me to give you an example? Do you remember the story of David when he ran away from Saul? You know what happened? He actually went and joined a gang. Did you know that? It doesn't say it that way in the Bible. But he joined a big gang. He joined 600 people who were bitter, who are running away, who are murderers, who are cast out of the community. Listen to this. They were all bitter people. They were at a certain point, they were going to kill him in the beginning. When he made wrong decisions, they were going to kill him. They were bitter people. They're very hard to deal with. He left the nice people, the good people, the friend, Nathaniel, and all of this. And he came to these people and he joined them. This man showed them love like no one else. Showed them acceptance. He sang with them. He prayed with them. They became buddies. You know who are these people now? These people are the only heroes in the Bible that they are mentioned by name, every and each one of them. They were so loyal to him. They died. They killed themselves for him. Go read the story of these people. They would go and kill others. They would die to bring him water. One day, David was relaxing, and he was saying, oh, I miss hometown Bethlehem. I would love just to drink one of the wells of Bethlehem. Bethlehem back then is with the enemies. And he was wanted, and all these people are wanted. Two people heard, they went, they did the impossible to go to Bethlehem, to draw some water from a well over there, and to bring it to David. He said, are you guys crazy? I was just joking. I was just having, I'm just imagining something. They said, you know, it's a famous word in Arabic, your dreams are orders, sir. Whatever you dream is an order for us. They did an unbelievable thing. This could have never done by someone who is not bitter and who is not healthy. No one can ever be loyal like these people. No one ever can be a good friend like these people. And a hero and a warrior. Why? Because God designed that. God wanted David to be with these people to be with David, to make a community, to make the biggest and the best army of the people of Israel to conquer the world for Christ. He didn't say, oh, these people, they're not into prayers and the psalms that I do, and they're not into music like I am. They're all criminals and bad people. He didn't say that. He lived with them in a community, lived in a beautiful community. That's relationship with God, loving God, and loving others. Exchanging love with others. The book of James, James chapter 2, speaks about this a lot. Speaks about faith and works. It says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality amongst yourself and become judged with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, are convicted by the law as transgressors. And then he says in verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother and sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. And so on. What is faith? My relationship with God. What is works? My relationship with others. A lot of times we say, all what I need is faith. If someone is hungry and thirsty, if someone needs me, I'll pray for you. Don't worry. I'll pray for you. You're taken care of. You're in my prayers. But I will not move out of my comfort zone to help this person. That's not what God wants. That faith without works. Works is being in a community, loving each other. That's why we're missing a lot. If I ask you, who are in your inner circle? Who are the people that are knit to you? Your souls are knit to each other. How are you helping each other and maturing each other? tell you the truth, what helped me most and what matured me is actually a group of wonderful friends. And I owe them a lot for what they did. I can say that my family helped me to mature spiritually. They did, of course, but I owe more to my friends. Because I might not listen to a father or a mother advices here or there, but a good friend who tells me what I need, who encourages me, is priceless. If you find one of those, it's priceless. And that's what we need. True friendship in Christ. True fellowship in Christ. But we have a problem. The problem is we stink in relationships. Right? We do. We can pray very well. I can do the faith part very well, but the works part, very hard. You know, people are difficult these days. You know, everyone has his own agenda, and people are sometimes weird. You know, these things. Oh, yani, I'd like, you know, to stay away. Like, love everyone and stay away from everyone. That's baloney, okay? That's not real. But love everyone and be with everyone and put up with everyone and try to be a friend with everyone. It is a challenge, but you're going to be a mighty king like David after that. So we need each other. We need the love of Christ from each other in order to be complete and in order to be mature. If we don't do that, we'll never be mature. That's why we have marital problems. You know that? You know why we have marital problems? Because if we had good friendships and we were good with friends and we were able to put up with friends and they put up with us, I can put up with the girl and the girl can put up with the boy. But we can't. Why? Because stuff, it's difficult. I'm not used to that. Like my space. I like my space. So, it definitely mature people. And before you get married, make sure that the boy or the girl, they have good friends. Not that the people are good. The more they have friends, and they are keeping the friends, and they're keeping relationship with the friends, if they keep their friends, they're going to keep you. You know, you're a keeper. You know, they don't keep your friends, they're not going to keep you. Simple. Can't succeed with friends? There isn't a lot of chances succeeding with a partner. We need that. It's never too late. We can work on it. That's what God wants us. That's why we get married. Why? Because we have to, you know, the best thing, if you treat a friend like a mate. So don't divorce your friends. If you don't divorce your friends, you're not going to divorce your wife or husband. Try to keep them as much as you can. That's what God wants us to learn. That's how we grow. So, what's our problem? What's our obstacles of friendship and relationships in general? I'll put just a few things and I'm going to go through them quickly. The first and the most important is the lack of forgiveness. Destroy relationships more than anything else. Because we're not perfect. No one is perfect. Your friends, your parents, the people who love you most will let you down. And will do things to let you down. But you must have forgiveness in order to carry this. And one comment I want to give you. Never, ever, ever, ever lose a friend or lose any person from the first mistake they do. Not even the second or the third. Just give them a chance. We all do mistakes. You might lose wonderful people that God is sending you because He said something about you, or she said something about you. Who cares? Maybe they were weak, they were crazy. We all do stupid things and say stupid things and we wish we can take it out, but we can't. But after that, he might say a bad thing about we once, but that's it. He could be a good friend forever. Do you think the 600 people that went to David, all of them said, hey, that's a great man? No, I'm sure they said the worst things about him. He put up with them. He loved them. He cared for them. And in the end, they give him their life. And they did give him their lives. Okay? So don't look for perfection in others that you yourself don't have. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all, these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love is the bond of perfection. Again, you want to be complete? Have healthy relationships. Take and give love. Bond of perfection. Love is the bond of perfection. You get this right, you know how to live complete. The second is speaking the truth in love. Learn the art of confrontation. Bring everything to the light. Your friend, someone upset you. Just talk to him. I heard that you said that about me. I heard you did that. And this upset me. Why did this happen? Just give the chance. But of course, we don't do that. Oh, he said that about me? Okay. That's it. That's it. Give me my phone. He's out of my contacts. He's out of my Facebook, whatever thing you do. Block him and, you know, and even he has a picture with me. Take this picture down. Get him down. No, talk to him. Talk to the person. Maybe it was just a stupidity, a mistake. Maybe it was not true. Give him a chance. This is the perfect situation of how to resolve a conflict with someone. It's very basic in the Bible. God mentioned it. Here it is. Matthew 18. Anytime you have a problem with someone, go to this reference. Matthew 18. Very simple. Moreover, if your brother sin against you, do something wrong to you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Okay? Don't put it on the wall, on your Facebook, and don't put it in the face, in the whole world. Don't talk about everyone about it. And he's the last one to talk to. No. You and him alone. Easy? Simple. Okay? Before telling my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister and friends and all of this. And he becomes very angry. He said, why don't you just come and ask first? It's not true. It's just a misunderstanding. Just you and him alone. Easy? Simple. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. See the beautiful word? You have gained your brother. You need your brother. You need your brother. Be smart. Never ever lose a person that God puts your way. Be smart. You gained your brother. You need him. But if he will not hear, dump him. No, it doesn't say that. It says, take with you one or two more, that they, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, where every word may be established. That's the rules. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. Wow, I'm being persuasive. He sinned against me. I didn't sin against him. I'm not trying to reconcile with him. He sinned against me, and I am the one who's working with him. I tried to confront him. It didn't work out. We don't see things eye to eye. So I go see the closest people to him and to me, mutual friends, and say, you know what? We just need to resolve this conflict. He sinned against me. I'm the one who's doing that. Why? Because I want to gain my brother. I don't want to lose him. Okay. I took friends, and he didn't even listen to the friends. I told you he's crazy. I told you she's lunatic. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. One more step. But if he refuses even to hear the church, see the beautiful words. Let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. It doesn't mean you're not going to lose people. No, you will lose people. And sometimes it's healthy to lose people. But after you trying, and with friends, and with the church, so you did your best, then, fine. Fine. But of course, we don't do any of these steps. We don't do even the first step. That's why we lose relationships day and night, left and right. We need these people, and they just need us as much. Okay? The third is gossip. Okay? Gossip is the worst thing ever and destroy relationships. And I'll tell you just one story to make my point. Okay? It was once a monk who gossiped, you know, about another monk. And he went to his father of confession, the abbot, and he said, I have sinned, forgive me. He said, before I forgive you, that's the custom over there, that they give them an exercise or something to do so they take it serious. He said, I want you to gather a full bag of chicken feather and come back. So he went to the monastery, he took all the chicken over there, he took all the feathers, they all were naked after that, and he did a huge effort to fill the bag. He filled the bag. He came. Here is the bag. Am I forgiven? He said, no, one more step. He said, take this bag and go to every single house in the nearest city. And that's the city where the monks used to go and buy and sell stuff. And so do you know people there? People know them. And put one feather in front of each door in the city. So he went. It was a lot of work. He put one feather in front of each door of these houses. He came back. Done. Am I forgiven? Go take communion now. He said, no, just one last step, I promise. Just one last step. Go back and collect every and each one of these feathers and you'll be forgiven. He said, no, the feathers are gone. The winds and all of this. There's no way I can even collect 10% of those. He said, these are words, my friend. They're easily can go everywhere, but you can never pull them back. That's gossip. That's what you did. That's how horrible it is. You think it's hard to go and collect every feather? It's hard to go and collect these words that you already spread about a brother. Unacceptable. And you make you lose something good that God is giving you. One thing else before I leave gossip is never, ever, ever hear or listen to anyone said anything about you. Okay? Someone gave me a beautiful advice long time ago, and it really helped me so much with relationships. He told me, do you know what is the distance between truth and falsehood? I said, distance? Like huge, like infinity? He said, no. This is the distance between truth, it's few inches, between truth and falsehood. And he said, it is the distance between your ear and your eye. Anything you hear is false. Only what you see is true. They said that about you, false. If you program yourself to do that, you will never lose a person. The people that said, they said the worst things about me, these people are my best friends, and they would give my life, their life for me. Why? Because I didn't believe the false. If they are against me in front of my eyes, they tell me in my eyes, I remember that. I can tell that they're against me. They did something bad to me. That's fine. I understand that. After I listened to this and I lived by this parable, I'm telling you, not a single person ever did something bad in my eyes. Not a single person. I hear a lot. And when people see me not interested in what I hear, in what I listen to, and I don't really believe them and I don't give them attention, nobody comes and tells me, oh, they said and he did. And no, he knows that. No, I just don't care. You know, I really don't care. Fourth and last is selfishness, being insensitive and being demanding, angry, you know, and knowing habits. These are all under selfishness, and just for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through every and each one of them. On the opposite, I want to give you some tips to invest in relationships and to really have good fellowship, you know, friendship in Christ. Very quickly also. Number one, you got to learn hospitality. If you cannot bring anyone to your home, then he's not really your friend. That's just words. True friends visit each other. We have fellowship. Okay? If you don't trust the person to be in your house, you don't trust him, then you don't have a relationship with this person. It doesn't work this way. And St. Peter said that, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Oh, they're going to eat my cheesecake. They're going to do this, and my house is clean. And you know, you got to accept them to your house, and don't be a freak in your food or your cleanness or anything like this. Second, especially if you're a lady, you know, it's good to have this version. I mean, some men talk a lot, you know. When you talk a lot, people feel like they don't exist. They're just ear. You all watching, you don't need a person. You just need a big ear, okay? And that's it. Take the ear and just leave me alone, okay? So when the perfect way to respect people is just to listen to them. What I mean by listening is not just be quiet so they can talk. There's two different ways, you know, I can say, how are you? Is a way that, you know, how are you? How was your day? Let me tell you about my day. No, just how are you? Really, how have you been? You okay? I'm ready to listen. What's going on? Is everything okay? With sincerity. Not because I'm nosy and I want to know things and want to spread the news everywhere. No, the sincere care, you know, shows, you know, how are you doing? That's listening. That's good listening. Third is learn how to encourage others. Learn how to say good words to build people. One word can make someone's life completely different. I promise you, the power of word is unbelievable. Learn that. The beautiful verse for this says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Give them what they need. It's going to edify people. It's going to help them. It's going to encourage them. Anyone here doesn't need encouragement? No one. We all need encouragement. We will all appreciate good words, nice words, and sincere, encouraging words. We all need that. Four, pray together. Someone came in the beginning of my talk and said, I have a question for you, a tough question for you. Why did God ask us to pray our Father? Why not my Father? Do you know the answer now? He wants us to be in communion. Even when we pray, we go together to him as a father. It's great that your son or your daughter love you, but it's greater when they love each other. Don't you think so as parents? When they love each other, yeah, that's the best thing. That's what you want to see in your children. Our Father, we're coming to you together. I'm not praying just on my behalf, but on behalf of my friends and my family and my community. Actually, God wants us to pray together. He said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in their midst. Even it says, family prays together, stays together. Why? Makes a strong bond. It makes a Christian bond. It makes the Holy Spirit unite them more and more. Sincere prayer. If we don't pray with each other, we're not really friends. We're like, hi, how are you? So, you know, the football and what's going on and stuff like this, and yeah, life sucks. So, why don't we join together in prayer and tell God that life kind of sucks. So, you know, why don't you help us? You know, we really need your help. Do it together. Do it together in prayer, you know, to the Father. He wants us to pray. Why two or three in my name? God, in order for God to be really present in your prayer, two or three. You should go and look for community that God is, you know, amongst you in your prayer. We do that in KFG, Koinonia Fellowship Group. If you have a group, most important thing, we pray together. We share the word of God together. And one last thing is to serve together. If you've been to any mission trips, anyone who went to any mission trip that the church did, usually the group of people who are together in the same trip, they become friends for life. Why? They serve together, they pray together, they stayed, they loved each other, they accepted each other. Of course, when you go to the trip, I promise you, I went twice with groups. And in the beginning, when I look at the people who are going, I say, oh my God, can I pull out? They will never get along. You know, old and young and Republican, Democrats, and all, it's not going to work out. And in the end, it's perfect how they complete each other. And then they're friends forever. We tried this with Koinonia Fellowship Group, the small groups. Put people in, sometimes I don't know how this will work together. And when people are simple and willing to try, becomes the best thing ever. And they become friends, and friends for life. And we try to separate them and put them in different groups. It doesn't work. They love each other. They want to be with each other. That's God's design for us. I think that's what's missing. We miss true fellowship in Christ to make us mature, complete, filled, and fulfilled. I pray that every and each one of you think about it, pray about it, think about joining a fellowship group, like Koinonia Fellowship Group. We have a lot of, we have to over 50. Think about friends, restoring relationships, you know, making good community in Christ. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us, for making the church for us, Lord, to be in a wonderful community, to be loved and cared for. Give us to accept your love from others, and give us to share your love with others. Give us to really know what you mean by that. And give us to notice the people that you put in our lives that we're not noticing. Teach us how to accept one another and to forgive, and how to grow to maturity in relationships. Give us to be connected to wonderful people that will shape us for eternity, that will shape our character and help us improve in our relationships. We ask a blessing here that you help every and each one of us to be in the right place with the right people. Pray this in the name of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, through an intercession of Holy Mother, Saint Mary, Saint Mark, all your saints, when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm sorry, I will ask you to sit down for 1 minute to tell you a quick announcement here. If you were here during our celebration, we talked about something called the script program. Script program is actually helping the church financially without doing anything. It's basically buying gift certificates from the places that you usually shop in, whether, you know, gas stations, even, you know, there are Visas and MasterCards, there are all kinds of shopping places, Starbucks and all of this. And instead of buying them directly, if you buy it from here, from the church's school, through the script program, big percentage goes to the church. Some of these percentages goes up to 15%. It's unbelievable rate. Not all of them are like this, of course. They're, you know, they vary. So there is a list of all these cards and places that you can buy and use. So, you know, Abuna talked about it last time, and basically if everyone helps in that, we can collect a lot and we can get a lot back, you know, to help our building and our project without doing anything, just to continue to shop where we shop and to do what we do and buying these gift certificates. So you're gonna find these the list, and this is actually a simple list. There is a bigger list online, and you can make the orders now. A lot of people made their orders. You order today, you receive your cards next week, and you can have them and do you know, spend them as they want. And the best thing about it is you can spend any way you want and tell your wife, "I'm helping the church," okay. Or you can go shopping, you know, there's Macy's and all of this, and say, "I'm helping the church. Macy's gives 10% back to the church." I'm just kidding. I don't want family problems because of that. Quick announcement also, Family Ministry presents Dr. Ayman Fanous, is talking about adults' behavior and impact on children this coming Friday at 7:30 p.m. On November 20th, there is a Thanksgiving dinner and concert. The concert is for $10, and it's English and Arabic, and the tickets are outside. Now go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.